This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by Passionate World Talk Radio and Lillian Caldwell. PassionateWorldTalkRadio.com. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. And I'm really excited tonight in particular because I have a musical artist on, and she is just fabulous. I've heard her music, I've seen her videos, and it seems apropos to have a jazz singer on the Energy Stoners Cafe. I envision having an actual cafe one day, and I can envision having this particular guest headline at my cafe. It's a big fantasy that I'm trying to manifest here. But her name is Christina Kohler, and she's a jazz vocalist. She has a band, and she's co-producer of an organization that I want to ask her about first, called the Feel Good Music Series. It's a series. It's called the Feel Good Music, and it sounds very, very intriguing. Tell me all about that, Christina, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. So Feel Good Music Series actually came about during the pandemic. So I lived in New York City for the past 6 years. And I'm originally from Yorktown Heights. And during the pandemic, I moved back home into my parents for about 6 months. And then I found a place in Peekskill in December about, and I moved here. And I decided, well, since I have all this time on my hands, since, you know, musicians are not gigging right now or you know, going on tour, I guess I'll put together a music series for Peekskill because I've always wanted to do something for this little city that we have here. And basically how it came about is I met Alex Smith over the pandemic as well, because I did get a few gigs during last summer, and I was just like looking for musicians that were in the area, and Alex came up. Alex is incredible. He plays in Lady Gaga's jazz band.
Ooh.
So I was like, yeah, that's probably a good person to connect with.
I think so. That's very impressive.
Yeah. And he's like the most humble person too. Like, he's so nice. He's such a genuine guy. And he was like, you know what? This is a great idea. Why don't we talk to Arts 10566 and see if they can give us some insight? And Wilfredo Morel is in charge of this nonprofit organization called Arts 10566, which provides arts education to kids who can't afford to do these type of classes, like music production classes and photography classes. And so they basically provide a space for kids to come and do these classes for free in Peekskill.
Wilfredo's very good at that. He's a friend of the show, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, he is, very much so. And so you're working with him and 10566 as part of your Feel Good Music?
Yes. He wanted to add in the educational component to it. So for each of the musical performances, we have a class. And I mean, it's almost over, the music series. The last one's coming up soon. But, you know, next year, I think we're going to expand on it and do more. But yeah, it's been a really great collaboration. I've never experienced a smooth collaboration before.
It's nice when collaboration goes well. What are the ages of the participants in your program?
So the musicians that we have they're all professional musicians, grown adults. Half of them are local musicians, and then half are New York City based. And also, I made sure it was half women and half men.
Oh, good for you.
Because that's very important. Like, there's not enough opportunities for women, and trying to make that more of a point with this series.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a musician myself, and I like struggle a lot being a woman. So, you know, I want to make some good changes, you know. And the other thing we kept into consideration is the community that we're in. So, you know, we had like a salsa band play because there's a big Hispanic community here. And we also had a few R&B soul bands, just trying to keep it as diverse as we possibly can, because that's what we're all about. The classes that we did Zumba, So that's like basically for, I don't know, like maybe 12 and up.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. We did an open mic that we wanted to have kids perform at, but that didn't end up happening. It was all adults, which is okay. What else? The community mural project was really cool. We had Brandon Cruz put together this mural for kids to like color on, and now we have it as our banner for the Field of Music series. And we also have a hula hoop class coming up, so that's definitely for kids.
Oh wow! I'd like to be in that class. Can I join the hula hoop contest?
Yeah, that's right. The class. It's any age.
Okay,
so.
Sign me up.
I definitely want to do it too. It sounds fun.
Yeah, no, good exercise too.
For sure.
So I think it's outstanding. You're working with Wilfredo Morell, who is passionate about the Peekskill community and the Hudson Valley in general. You know, so that I think that's like a win-win right there. How did you get involved in jazz? Because I want to talk about your jazz singing, because I heard you singing and I was like, wow, you sound like you were back. These songs you were singing were kind of songs like classic jazz. It's almost like as if you were there when the song was written. It was like really impressive, almost haunting, but very impressive. You have some voice on you.
Oh, thank you.
How did you get involved in music and why jazz?
So when I was 8 years old, I saw my best friend performing in musicals. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. So I started singing lessons at 8. I did musical theater for about 8 years. I actually was in a few shows with Christina, Christina Brooks.
I heard about her. Yes.
Yeah. She's people know her.
Yeah, I've heard all about her. Yes.
So I did that for 8 years. I did musical theater. And then it ended up, when I was in high school, I bought myself a ukulele. I started playing the ukulele. I bought a guitar. I started playing the guitar. I had like a rock band. And then I also was like learning how to sing classical. And then basically the deciding point to learn about jazz was like, okay, I've done everything I can right now. So what to go to school for, basically. I didn't want to do musical theater because the thing that kind of turned me off about musical theater was having to act and be somebody you're not when you're singing. And then classical, I didn't want to do because I wasn't a fan of singing what's exactly written on a sheet of music.
Uh-huh.
And then jazz, I've never learned about jazz, but my family always like said, you should try singing jazz. So I was like, all right. And I liked how you can like create your own, you could basically do whatever you want with jazz.
It's improvisational.
Yeah, exactly. Which I really dug about it. And then, yeah, I went to school for jazz, and now I'm doing both jazz and original music. I started writing original music and releasing that as well. So you
actually are a composer as well?
Yes, yeah.
So do you have a repertoire of things you've written? What do you do with the music that you've written besides perform it?
Yeah, I mean, I have an album out right now called Stronger. That's all original music except one song. And I have one song on the way. Hopefully it'll be released in November. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
Writing original music has been really what I've been enjoying the most recently. But I also really love to take a jazz tune and flip it and make it my own. Right now I'm like working on a whole Cole Porter project of all Cole Porter tunes and making them my own.
Like, I believe that I saw a video of you singing Cole Porter. That's why I'm saying it just blows my mind when I see young people singing songs that are just from decades and decades ago. And if, as far as your voice is concerned and your performance and interpretation, it sounds almost like you wrote the song. You're just there. You're all in it.
Yeah, and I think honestly, I learned a lot of these songs from just musical theater too, and I wanted to still keep that part of me, keep that as part of me, you know, because it was such a big part of my life, and there's so many great songs from musical theater that are considered like songbook, like jazz standards. And I've always been very like aware of what the songs are about.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like, you know, like I pay attention to songs so that I can relate with them. Cause if I just picked a random song to sing, Like, I'd rather say Love for Sale or something. I would never sing that tune because I'm like,
it's so catchy though, you know, Christina. It's catchy. Love for Sale. It's very catchy. So you wouldn't sing that song. Tell me why you wouldn't sing that one.
Because I can't relate to it. It's not relatable to me. I don't know.
I know.
If I can't relate with it, then I don't want to do it, basically. And I also feel like I'm about finding songs that can be for a broader audience, not just like the regular jazz listener, but younger audiences as well.
So what inspires you? What inspires you when you decide to perform and or write a song?
I mean, a lot of the times other music will inspire me, you know. I'll go and see bands play, and then I'll be like, oh, I gotta do something now. I gotta work on something.
Okay, all right. That makes sense. That makes sense that we artists, we inspire each other. We definitely do. And so is it very spontaneous? Like, some people talk about having downloads, and all of a sudden the song is there.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, I get into a rut, and I need like a break, and I can't like focus on doing anything music related. But I've learned to kind of force myself to, even just like, if I'm feeling that way, just go to the piano and just play something. It doesn't have to be like a song that I'm learning. I could just like create like a melody on the piano and just create something so that I could get out of that rut as quickly as possible.
I imagine your work with feel good music, if you, sounds like there's a little bit of mentorship involved there.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing about, I mean, me and Alex both have such great connections from New York City. So we were like, we gotta show Peekskill what is going on, and you know, music wise, because me and him are so sick of like seeing these tribute bands, these cover bands play. Like, we want original music to be heard.
In something new, people tend to get like latched into the same thing in a community because it's just what people are used to. So you're inspired to bring something new and fresh to the scene.
Yes, exactly.
That sounds like a good thing to do, because new is good. You know, and so you actually are doing so many things. I'm wondering how you figure out how you can be cohesive, you know, with everything that's going on in your mind, you know, with the songs that are like not quite written yet, and also the songs and the music that inspires you. Is there any particular musician? Because you're singing some songs that they sound like things that my grandparents listen to. And they listen to good music. So I'm very curious when I hear like someone like you that's young, you know, and then you just can find it within the depth of yourself to deliver this song as if you had written it yourself. You really feel it. You can see just by watching you perform. I'm impressed.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, the one thing I've had an issue with is differentiating my original music from the jazz, because my original music is not jazz.
It's not jazz, okay.
Yeah, it's more like, I don't know, I don't even know. People, like, when I was submitting my album to, like, publications, they're like, it's art pop, and I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of that before.
Art pop.
Yeah, there's, like, all these different genres of music I've never heard of before. The thing is, for me, is, like, I've always been inspired by different styles of music. Like, I've never been, I'm going to just be a jazz singer the rest of my life, and that's it. You know, like, I'm so, like, open-minded in that sense that's why I really think that the music series is really cool, because I can find bands that I'd never heard of before and have them play, you know, even if it's not jazz music. Like, I think next year we're going to have, this guy reached out to me who lives in Peekskill. He's a guitarist, but he has a band with a female singer, and it's like a rock band, and they write all original music. I'm like, that's sick. Like, I want to do that. I don't know, because I listened, when I was younger, I listened to, you know, musical theater. There's always Frank Sinatra playing. There was Motown playing. There was classic rock. And then I listened to my own music, like, you know, Coldplay and Blink-182 and Bon Iver and all these different artists. Amy Winehouse was a big inspiration for me too.
Yes, I had a conversation about her today.
Oh yeah?
She was quite an inspiration to a lot of people. Very sad story. I could have another interview about that, but I'm not going to have an interview about that. But I think that it's interesting because it sounds like you work like organically. It feels that way, the way you talk and in just watching you. And do you have specific people that you prefer working with? Because I noticed that the musicians that you're working with, you seemed very cohesive, you know, which is something that impresses me about musicians in general, even when they don't even know each other.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about jazz music is you can basically call any jazz musician that you know and be like, hey, let's play, we're going to do a brunch gig today, and it's going to be 3 hours to show up, and then I'll, like, tell them what songs to do, and they'll know them, you know, which is cool about jazz. But in terms of, like, my original music, it's a whole different thing. Like, I need very specific kind of musicians. Like, I need a synthesizer, I need electric bass, which a lot of jazz musicians don't know how to play well. But I've found my band, who is all, you know, they're all jazz musicians, but they all play other styles of music. So it's a great combination.
Okay, so as far as, like, the genre of music that you really feel most connected to, I'm harping on jazz because that's what I heard you sing, but what do you feel most connected to in terms of music? Is it rock? Is it Motown? Is it?
I don't know what it is, because, you know, I think so many different things. And the other thing is, like, you know, I write songs on my ukulele, too. So that's, like, singer-songwriter. So I just like to be able to do different things, because I feel like that keeps me inspired. Because if I stick to one thing, it doesn't inspire me as much.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like you have a long, successful way to go. What do you aspire to ultimately? Like, do you have that? You don't have to answer it, because I know that it's not a fair question to ask, but I always ask people this question. It's like, what are your plans? Even though you don't have to have any, but sometimes people have, like, a plan.
I want to tour the world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm touring a bit in the United States, but I really want to go internationally. I think that'd be really cool. To be well enough to be able to do that. Well known enough, I mean.
Yeah, I really hope that happens for you, you know, and I'll tell you that I know that my podcast reaches a global audience, so you never know. So how can someone contact you, just to sort of digress a little bit? If they wanted to contact you and book you and see your blog, like, what is your email address and your website, and how can they find you?
So you can go to ChristinaKohler.net. That's my website.
And it's with a K?
Yes.
Christina with a K, Kohler with a K, and it's C-O-L-L-E-R, right?
K-O-L-L-E-R.
Okay, K-O-L-L-E-R. And .net, you said?
Yes, that's my website.
Okay, so they can find you there, and if they can contact you through there as well.
Yes, they can.
How did you manage during how are you managing during this pandemic with people not really booking people so readily? How are you managing?
I've been lucky enough to be getting unemployment, thank goodness. Of course, that's running out shortly.
Yeah.
But I also teach private music lessons as well. That helped me a lot over the pandemic. I didn't have, like, before the pandemic, I had, like, 15 private music students. And then during it, I probably had, like, about 8 steady. Now I don't have any because it's summertime.
It's summertime. Yeah, no one wants to study and work. And so that it must be kind of complicated, you know, with all the sanitation restrictions. We have lifted a little bit. But I imagine you have to have a whole system in terms of keeping it safe for your student, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fully vaccinated, but I always, you know, I always ask the parents, like, if you want me to wear a mask or not, like, you know, make sure that however comfortable they are, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you're doing the right thing. And so are you teaching voice? What are you teaching?
I teach voice, ukulele, and piano.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And songwriting.
And songwriting. So what are the ages of the students that you'll take? How old, how young?
I say usually like seven is the youngest. Any younger than that is, like, kind of difficult to teach private lessons.
And what is your oldest student? Who is your oldest student? What is the age?
I have a 40-year-old right now. Mm-hmm. So
okay. All right.
Teaching voice to her. So
that's really interesting that you teach people that are up to 40 years old, because you're really young. I'm not going to say, but you're in your 20s, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, but I teach, like, voice I can teach any age, basically. because that's my specialty. You know, piano's beginner and ukulele is also beginner.
See, yeah. I think it's a nice combination. Ukulele, I would never have thought of that. I've heard some really interesting things among musicians. I'm always impressed. And I always feel like the groupie in the room when I'm with any musician, because the musicians, from a visual artist point of view, are the coolest, the cool kids, you know? And they allow you in the room. It's like, oh, wow, I can actually be with the cool kids. I think it's fantastic that you're able to teach. You know, I think that is the key. You're actually giving back in a very one-on-one basis. And it, I think it's good for community to know that there's someone like you in the community. Because a lot of times people want to give their child a lesson and they just don't know how to go about making it happen. You know, so they could contact you and you could interview them and determine what they actually need, I imagine. How did you get started on the ukulele? It just seems so random.
Well, when I was like 16 or I liked Ingrid Michaelson a lot. She has a whole album called Be Okay, and it's all ukulele and singing. And I really like that the whole album like made me want to learn ukulele. So that's why I picked it up.
Okay. So that's interesting. It's very interesting that you just kind of let life happen to you in terms of your music and your music career. That's why I use the word organic. You know, and I think that's interesting because a lot of people think that with music, there has to be a distinctive plan to get into it where you just let it happen to you. You just let it happen.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. What are your plans going forward?
So I'm actually going on tour in September. I got a grant. Grants are kind of a pain in the butt to apply to, but hey, I got it.
You got it.
I got a grant through South Arts. It's called the Jazz Road Grant, and they basically pay for musicians to go on tour.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because a lot of times when I do go on tour, I don't end up like actually getting paid myself. It's always like, I always like break even usually.
Yeah, you have to really read the fine print and do the math. A lot of people don't do the math, which I've found with artists. You know, we tend to overlook the math. I think it's just a stereotype, but it does happen. You know, we kind of don't. You got to add and subtract and make sure that you're actually going to be making money on something and that you can afford to do what you want to do. So as a writer, how did you get started in writing? What sparked it? Like, did you just start writing stuff on the piano? A song would come out and then you'd score it out?
So when I was younger, I did write some songs, but I didn't like really, you know, when I went to college, I didn't do that. And in college, I learned how to arrange music. Basically, after I did like arranging, I kind of had more of a knowledge as to how to write music. So that's how it started to come about.
I'm very impressed with you. You know, Christina, I'm impressed with the fact that you just do it and you're not really questioning everything. You just get it done. It's a beautiful thing. Now that things are opening up, restaurants are starting to have bands again. At least I've seen a few of them around in the Hudson Valley. Music is starting to happen again right now. Do you feel that you can start to be yourself again? How do you feel about it?
I've been gigging for the past few months. I have a few regular gigs. I actually have a brunch gig that happens every Sunday in Rye, New York.
In Rye, New York? I'm from there. So where in Rye?
It's called Miso Restaurant. It's a brand new restaurant that opened up.
All right, sounds Japanese, all right?
It's actually Mediterranean, I know.
Oh.
Miso, as in M-I-S-O.
Really? Miso, wow, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's really good.
I can imagine, give them a little plug. So Miso Restaurant, and I imagine, and I'm just guessing it's on Purchase Street.
It's off of Elm Street, actually.
Off of Elm Street, okay. All right, so, and you'll be performing there?
Yeah, I do brunch there every Sunday.
Oh, that's nice to know. So every Sunday, I'll tell the audience, you can hear Christina Kohler sing at Miso Restaurant on Elm Street in Rye, New York. That's wonderful. I'm glad you have a regular gig. And what kind of crowd shows up? Do they have protocol? You have to have a reservation to go there, I imagine.
They're still new, and the brunch just started, so it's slowly picking up. But the last time we had it, people were clapping and stuff, which was nice.
Oh, that's good. You like that. Usually when you play, sometimes people you feel like they're not even listening.
Yeah, yeah.
But so you're more, so you caught their attention. You're not just background.
Yeah, exactly, which is cool. And we play outside, which is nice too.
Oh, really? They have an outdoor space?
Yep.
Aside from that, do you aspire to go on tour again?
Yeah, like I said, I'm going on tour in September. So I'll be going to the Midwest, going to Cincinnati, Indiana, Michigan, and Chicago.
That sounds good. And we have listeners out there, too. So I'll just say your name again, Christina Kohler. That's with K, with a K, Christina, and Kohler with a K, K-O-L-L-E-R. And so maybe our listeners from Michigan and Chicago and everywhere. But we have quite a global audience here, and I appreciate them so much. And I appreciate you coming on the show and introducing yourself to them, because you're outstanding. Maybe at some point in the foreseeable future, you can come on now that things are starting to open up a little bit. We're doing a little bit more of the TV video kind of interview on Talk with TQ. I would love to have you on. I would love that very, very much. You know, in the foreseeable future, I see it in my director's eyes right now. Yeah, I think that it'll happen. It would be great to have you on. I will be in touch, because there are certain guests that we have that just resonate with us and resonate with the audience. And we always have them back when they're as good as you, Christina.
Cool.
I'll thank you so much for coming on the show. And just mention your website address again.
So it's Christina, K-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, mm-hmm. Kohler, K-O-L-L-E-R.net.
ChristinaKohler.net. And you'll have to come to hear her at Jazz Brunch at Miso Restaurant in Rye, New York. You know, be there or be square. That's what my daddy would say, you know, and I'm going to try to get over there, because I just love listening to live music. And now we're in a time that we can actually do that again. And Christina, I wish you all the best of luck. I really do.
Thank you so much.
I know that you're going to be successful. I'm convinced of that. And then one day I'll say, I know her from way back when. I interviewed her about what she's going to do, and she's doing it. So come back again soon. I'll invite you back for sure. And I thank you for coming on. And I'm going to thank the audience for coming to listen to the Energy Stoners Cafe again. Someday I might have that cafe, and Christina Kohler will be one of the singers at my cafe. That's my fantasy. So have a good night and be well. Be nice to each other, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.